It is time now for Talking Books with Susan Brown, and for that we are joined by Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library, which has got to be super busy now as we get into holiday season. How are you?
I am doing swell. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm good. How busy is the library right now?
So today was like not so busy because we're gearing up for the weekend.
Yes.
It's rare that we're closed three full days in a row. The fact that Christmas is on a Tuesday, it's kind of nice, right? So we're open through Sunday, regular times this weekend, and then we're closed Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Okay.
And then we're gearing up for Saturday and Sunday, and I have to tell you, whatever bug is going around, my staff is dropping like flies.
Oh, yeah.
There's been
yeah.
a lot of call or sick people calling out.
Yes.
But we have awesome staff who will persevere. And then next Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, we know we'll be very busy too because people will have been home with family for three days.
For straight days. They need to get out.
Yeah.
Especially with the kids off for holiday break. Just get out and go somewhere where the kids can run around quietly and safely.
Indoors, yes. Outdoors too with all of the explore more stuff. So the weather for Christmas looks kind of okay, mid-50s, I think. But never fear, because my intrepid staff of awesome people have come up with something so the library on Christmas break is super great.
Right.
What could be greater? A full-on mobile blow-up planetarium in the library over Christmas break.
Whoa.
What? So, first thing that I want to talk about today is something called Star Lab. So, this is really cool. So, starting this Saturday and running through December 30th, when we're open, kids of all ages, so adults, grown-ups, kids, seniors, your dog, no, don't bring your dog.
Don't bring the dog.
Everybody will have the chance to go into this thing called Star Lab. So Star Lab, it's a pop-up planetarium.
Okay.
It's like 11 feet tall and 22 feet in circumference. It barely fits in room B. It barely fits.
But it's going to be inside.
It's going to be in our biggest meeting room
inside.
So this is sponsored by the State Library of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And in celebration of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, they bought four of these things.
Nice.
And they're circulating them to libraries throughout the state. So we grabbed one because this is right on point with our Explore More work and our STEM learning.
Right.
And it's really cool. So it's a pop-up planetarium. 20-some people can fit in this. It's got multiple shows. We've got some great folks from the Moorhead Planetarium. Mickey Jo Sorrell, who's awesome, who everybody in town knows. She is, I believe, retired from the planetarium, but she's helped us out with some things. So she's going to be there to help guide folks through it. There are program shows, but there's also just the night sky where you can just go in and she'll talk you through what you're seeing. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
And we are super psyched to have it. So a couple of things to know. On Friday, we're doing what we're calling a sneak peek. So for the 22nd, 23rd, 28th, 29th, and 30th, from 10 till 5, and this is all on our website, it's going to be in room B. And we're going to have some crafts for the kids. It's first come, first serve. So if there's a little bit of a line, there'll be some crafts. You can hang out. But because we're the kind of place we are, on this Friday, we're doing what we call a sneak peek. And we're going to inflate it in the middle of the library.
Oh, wow. Wait, does that mean you have to then deflate it, move it into meeting room B?
Yeah. And
okay.
It's all run by a fan.
Right.
So, yeah, so Friday we're going to test it out. We're just because we thought, yes, we can put it in room B, but we could also put it smack dab in the middle of the library. So kind of just past the welcome hub, sort of across from the kids' room. It's going to be in the middle.
Okay, so right there, in the...
Yes.
I still don't know. How does that even? Aren't there desks and tables and things?
Those are all movable.
Okay.
It's got a really high ceiling. We'll make the clearance.
All right.
We're gonna see what
happens.
I'm
looking forward to this.
Yeah. So Friday's a sneak peek, and I think Friday we'll just have the night sky up, and then starting Saturday, 10 till 5, every day that we're open through the end of this year. Every 30 minutes, we're starting shows. So 10, 10:30, 11, so on and so forth.
So this is just like an inflatable planetarium.
Yeah.
What is the ceiling made of?
You'll have to come and find out, Aaron. I've literally gone through all of the handwritten notes that Megan Rosen gave me to read on the radio. I don't know what it's made of. But, I mean, check it out. It looks like a bouncy house meets an igloo.
Yeah, basically.
Yes, but it's really cool. And so we're one of the few places that I don't know anybody else in the Triangle that's doing it. It's really, really cool. And we think that it's just going to be fun and engaging.
That's awesome.
And it's for all ages. So every half hour, starting Saturday, 10 till 5, every day we're open, and a wacky sneak peek on Friday.
Nice. So the night sky is just sort of one show, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are how many other shows?
So
do
the
you
night
know?
Sky, my understanding is that's kind of static.
Okay.
And then there's like, I don't know, like 24 other shows,
wow.
I think, with all of these, you know, some with, you know, people talking you through it, all kinds of things.
So you can go and come back and see another
yes!
show and come back and see another
exactly.
show. Nice.
Bring the family, bring the kids. Or like, I mean, there might be some people out there who wish
out,
they
who
had one in their house that like they could go into when things get crazy with the family.
I just got to go to the store and pick up another gallon of milk. I'll be right back.
And then you just go and sit in the planetarium.
Yes.
Be one with the night sky.
So walk back in with like a gallon of milk and a little pennant in your other hand that says planetarium on it. I got some crazy milk.
That's right. Anyways, it's going to be super fun.
So that begins sneak peek on Friday, and then
yes.
Saturday, Sunday
Saturday.
Is when it begins.
10 till 5,
awesome.
Every day, starting Saturday, every day we're open until the year ends.
Awesome.
Speaking
with Chapel Hill, Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library, what books are we going to talk about today?
Holiday books.
Holiday books,
right?
Okay.
Because
cool.
it's that time of year.
Yes.
I won't be here next week.
Yeah.
It's holidays, right? Maybe I will be. I don't know.
It's up to
Find
you.
Out.
I'll be here.
You'll
I'll be
here.
Standing right here.
I might actually be
7
here.
7 days from now.
Tune in next week and find out. So, holiday books.
Yes.
Do you want to go first?
I want you to go first because
okay.
I got one.
I have got three.
Good.
And they're all on the theme of obscure Christmas books.
Okay.
I didn't even check to see if the Chapel Hill Public Library owns these.
That is how wild we are, y'all.
Well, I bet we do own the first one. So the first one isn't that obscure, but maybe. So I was thinking Christmas books, and then I was thinking books to give at Christmas. I don't know. I was thinking of all kinds of things. And I thought, what about like regular book series that happen to have a Christmas book in them,
okay.
right?
Okay, right, all right.
So I thought of one of my favorites. I recently was rereading some of her other ones, Agatha Christie. And I wanted to recommend, she's got a Christmas book called Hercule Poirot's Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And it was written like, you know, in like, I don't know, 36, 38 or something. And it's basically, it's kind of like a marketing ploy back in the day because it's like every other Agatha Christie novel. It's the family patriarch,
yes.
asks everybody to the country manor.
Yes. Someone turns up dead.
For Christmas.
For Christmas, right.
Crime ensues, Hercule Poirot shows up, blah, blah, blah. But it's a Christmas one, right? So Hercule Poirot's Christmas. I don't know if it's on our shelves. It's a locked room mystery. It's fun. If you love Agatha Christie, if you love these kinds of things, and you want a Christmas one, Agatha Christie made one.
I am 100% sold on that. If the family patriarch is like Santa Claus and he invites like all of these Christmassy characters like Frosty and Rudolph. That probably is not what this is.
No,
but that's
not at
what it should be. If that mystery hasn't been written, someone needs to get on that.
There you go.
All right. So a book that I read a very long time ago that for whatever reason stuck with me is one called Christmas Gift by Farrell Sams, who is a Southern writer. I haven't read anything else by him, but he's kind of a fairly well-known writer, chronicler of Southern life, and we're thinking like early to mid 20th century, I think. And this is just a very short book. I don't even think it's 100 pages long, and it's written for kids, but it's a book that all ages can read and enjoy, and it's just 100 pages of talking about family life and Christmas traditions and growing up in the South in the early part of the 20th century and all of the traditions thereon too. Very much like Gene Shepherd, and we talked about that last
yes.
time, except with much less of a humorous bite and more of just a a sentimental kind of untwisted look on Gene Shepard will just take and twist in interesting ways. Feral Sam's just writes it straight with no twist whatsoever, and that makes it just sort of heartwarming and sentimental
right.
and fun.
Well, and Feral Sam's, it's one of those names, like one of those authors that I feel like I should have read. Mm-hmm. Like I hear it a lot. I'm aware of this person.
Yeah.
I've never read anything.
I've never read anything else. To my knowledge, he hasn't written anything else. It just from the bag, it's like this person has written this person and this person has written. But I have to trust the blurb on the back. I haven't actually physically seen any other Feral Sam's book in my life. I have to go with what the back of the book cover says.
Gotcha.
From the author of this and this comes Christmas Gift, a heartwarming, sentimental, untwisted Christmas story about family traditions.
Okay, so I'm glad that you mentioned Gene Shepard, because
yes.
we've recommended
In
God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash,
yep.
Which is what the Christmas Story movie was based on, because
right.
the next book that I'm going to recommend, it's really a story, is what It's a Wonderful Life is based on. People don't know this.
I didn't know this.
You see? It's based on a short story called The Greatest Gift, and it was written by a guy named Philip Van Doren Stern. The story is really interesting in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So Philip Van Doren Stern wrote this story. If you've seen the movie, which we all have, it's very similar. The guy standing on the bridge, he's going to commit suicide. The
right.
guy with the bag comes up and shows him his life and everything. But he wrote this story in like 1939 or 40, and he shopped it around to publishers, and nobody would take it. So he decided, and I think in 1943, he printed it off, like he printed like 200 copies, and he sent it to friends and family as a Christmas gift.
Okay.
And somehow, some way, it comes to the attention of one of the like big movie producers.
Right, right.
They give it to, Cary Grant was offered the role first, and it becomes this movie.
Awesome.
So, of course, at some point, some publisher picked it up and has republished it and packaged
it.
So you can buy it in a cute
little... We wanted it the whole time.
Right?
Yeah.
A cute, like, holiday binding. But if you yourself love that movie and you haven't read this, or you know of people that love the movie, I don't know if we have this in our collection, but you can probably find it out there. But it's a cool kind of a little... bit of trivia that movie was
That's
actually based on a short story called The Greatest Gift.
The Greatest Gift. Okay. So has it been repackaged and now they sell it as It's a Wonderful Life now? Or?
I think they sell it as The Greatest Gift, you know, the story that inspired It's a Wonderful Life.
All
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
I love the story of how It's a Wonderful Life just very, very gradually took off, because it's written, it's sent to publishers, it gets rejected, it ends up being a Christmas gift from someone who didn't want to spend money on his friends, and then
you can say it that way.
You can say
sure.
it that way,
Grinch.
Right?
Scrooge.
And then
and then
it becomes a movie, but the movie isn't all that popular right away either. And it takes several decades for the movie to become popular. And the only reason that happened is because someone forgot to renew the copyright on the movie. And then
I didn't know that.
That's why every TV station in the world showed It's a Wonderful Life like 80 times during holiday season in the 70s and 80s, because there was no copyright, so it was free for everyone, and that's how it takes off.
And that's how everybody that might have once loved it got tired of it.
Yes.
Or maybe that's just me and you, apparently.
Yeah. Well, no, because it's 3 hours long and I'm 8 years old, so I didn't sit through it until after the copyright got renewed, and then NBC does their once a year thing, so now it's special again.
And if it's on, the one scene that I always stop for, like everything else, I'm like, every time a bell rings, blah, 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 all the stuff, whatevs. The scene where they're sharing the telephone, it's like when they're still dating, and there's a scene where like somebody calls or they call somebody and they're like cheek to cheek talking on the telephone.
Yep.
Everything else I don't really care about.
All right. You got one more?
I do.
Go for it.
Another obscure one. So this is every year when we pull out all the Christmas stuff to decorate the tree and everything, we have a whole box of Christmas books, like picture books, and there's The Grinch, of course, and The Worst Christmas Pageant Ever, and all of those.
Oh, I love The Worst Christmas
right?
Pageant
or the best
Ever.
Christmas
I forgot.
Pageant ever.
Best
what
Christmas.
Is it? The best, worst?
One of those.
Such a great story, though.
It's a really good one, yeah. If I could remember the title, it'd be the most fantastic book ever.
And we have some more recent ones, like All of the Other Reindeer, which is a really great Christmas
yes.
book, and all kinds of things. But my personal favorite, and this is one that I had as a kid. I'm not sure if the copy I have now, it might be my childhood copy. It's a book called Santa Mouse. And the author is Michael Brown, and the illustrator is like Elfreda de something or other. And it's just this like adorable, sweet story of Santa Mouse. And he lives in this big, you know, house, but there's nobody else in there but the mouse. And all year long, he saves up a piece of cheese to leave for Santa. And so he leaves Santa a piece of moldy cheese. And Santa loves it. And he sees the spirit of Christmas in this tiny mouse. And then he has the mouse accompany him on his Christmas Eve flight to deliver
Christmas
all over the world.
I remember reading this one too, yeah.
And it's like written in rhyme, and it's got these old school, like vintage illustrations, and oh, I love Santa Mouse. And then, thinking about this show, I was looking at it, and actually in the Christmas parade a couple years ago, in the Chapel Hill parade, the first time we were in it, like 4 years ago, we all were like giant books. We printed off
these giant books.
And I was like, my book was
Santa Mouse. Yep.
But then I pulled it up to make sure that I had the author right, and it's going for like $78 on Amazon. So I'm like, wow. Anyway, Santa Mouse, it's such a sweet book. So those are my three obscure Christmas books.
Awesome.
The holidays.
I want to add, it's the best Christmas pageant
best.
Ever. We're okay because the cover is the worst Christmas pageant ever, and then they've
crossed it out
and replaced
That's
with
right.
best, so we were right. Yeah,
That's
but that
right.
one good too.
Yep.
Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.